Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
It's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, D.
Daryl?
Hello, boys.
Well, were you wildly entertained by Shadur's press conference? He's fun to listen to.
Okay. Now let's see if he's fun to watch play football, right?
That is correct. Oh. That's what we're thinking. What do you expect to see on Sunday that would show a little growth with the extra practice and the little bit of playing time he received the other day?
A little more chemistry with the group as a whole. And we saw his ability to stand in the pocket and deliver a football more than 5 yards down the field. But now, can he do that consistently, or is he, does he still have the bad habit of retreating from the line of scrimmage and running himself into some trouble, right? And I think that that's going to take some time to break that habit, because, I'll be honest with you, it doesn't get talked about a lot. Everyone's looking for under rugs and couch cushions for conspiracy theories as to why he was a fifth round pick. And it kind of dawned on me after going back and watching that second half against the Ravens. The reason he ended up being a fifth round pick was that talent evaluators were watching that Colorado film and they were seeing 10, 15, 20, 30, 35 yard losses on that film in the NFL. Maybe he got away with, which he did in a lot of respects. He got away with a lot of that stuff in college. The retreating from the line of scrimmage, running backwards with his back towards the line and trying to evade, whatever, so that he can, make a play down the field. But I think talent evaluators, they saw sacks. They saw massive losses of yardage in the NFL because the players are bigger, faster, stronger, all those type of things. And that's really why he fell to the fifth round, not because there was just some big grand colluding conspiracy throughout the league. I think it really is the film. And he did that Sunday where he, ran himself out of plays a couple of times. But then on the flip side of the coin, he really stepped up in the pocket and delivered some good, sound, solid throws down the field. So if he can eliminate the negative stuff there, I think he's going to be an exciting player to watch.
Why do you think early, though, prior to the draft, that there was talk that he was a higher round pick, that he was a first round pick, that people were going back and forth? If all of a sudden, was that an epiphany, or was that based on his senior year tape or his last year tape?
Who is his father?
Is that enough?
No, I'm serious.
No, but I'm saying, is that really? If that's the case, then Michael Jordan's son should have been, right?
No, you're not hearing me.
I am.
Who was his dad? Who was his dad? What did his dad do after he was done playing? Okay. And all that. Deion controlled the media narrative around this whole thing, in my view. That's my opinion.
All right.
And everyone jumped on board. Well, then you didn't notice until after the draft where people the National Insiders actually started talking to people and they're like, oh, well, here's what really happened. Here's why he fell. Whereas before the draft, I'm like, oh yeah, this guy's a first round pick. Da, 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 da. You know what I mean? So clearly they were not getting that information from NFL people. because no one in the NFL had that evaluation of him, right?
Well, Kiper was, you know, yelling and screaming about it, but
okay, whatever.
Well, you're saying no one. I gave you one. That's the one I can think of at the top of my head.
Okay, please tell me the last draft Mel Kiper got right.
I'm sure he's gotten some things right. Daryl, I don't disagree with you. I just think it's interesting that everybody, not everybody, but a lot of the media people were saying that he was
everybody fell in line. Everybody fell in line on the hype train before the draft, and then when the draft is over, everyone changed their tune. And the reason everyone changed their tune is they went back and they got the real information from the NFL folks on the evaluations. Okay. I'm just telling you what happened. That's what happened.
He's Daryl Ryder. He's our Browns beat reporter. Tell me this. Is the offensive line not good? Is it injured? Is it old? Is it not getting coaching that it should be getting? What's going on there?
How many tackles have they had to use this year, Jeff?
No, that's why I said, is it injured? Is that what the problem is? I gave you choices. Go ahead and pick one.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big problem, right? When you're
that's what I'm wondering, Daryl. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of the issue.
Right.
I mean, I lost count on what number tackle they're down to this year. And your fingers are crossed that, I mean, Kevin said before practice, right, two guys got banged up on Sunday. They're going to be limited today. Fingers crossed they will be available on Sunday against the Raiders. Like, that's kind of a big part of the problem when you're having to constantly swap out your tackles because of injuries, right? You can't really develop any type of a cohesion up front. And I don't think that the interior is, I think it puts more pressure and exacerbates the problem, you know, on the interior as well when your edge is not sound. So, you know, I don't think that there's anything wrong with Wyatt Teller or Joel Bitonio or even Ethan Posick. Like, I don't think there's problems there. So, you know, I just think it's a situation where they did a poor job ensuring that the tackle situation was deep enough with talent and not just bodies. And that leads you to the problems you have. And, you know, and also too, you've got young players, Jeff, right? Whether it's Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders, what do teams do to young quarterbacks? They apply the pressure. Yeah, right. So combine all of that together, you know, mix it together in a bowl. What do you get? Well, you get the hot mess you've seen up front for the first, you know, 10 games of the season.
So if you're an offense and you're Tommy Rees, what do you do to help out your young quarterback against a defense that's not real good but can put some pressure on you? And, you know, obviously we're thinking Max Crosby in particular.
Yeah. Quick throws. You know, do not try to limit the amount of reads that Shedeur has to make. Get the ball out as quickly as possible, whether it's screens, whether it's quick slants, whether it's working the boundaries, but don't put it in a situation where he's going 3 and 4 progressions deep on every single snap, because I think that that's where you're going to run into the pressure aspect of things, where Shedeur's running around and, you know, all those things, and you set yourself up for the potential of massive losses of yardage, right? So, I think that if they can, program into the game plan here, just some quick throws, first, second reads, get the ball out, you know, within 3 seconds, and not allow that internal clock of his to get past 4.5 seconds. That's like the line of demarcation. 4.5 seconds, after that, you're in trouble, okay? But
he's going to run. You know he's going to run. That's what he does. He's going to try to run.
100%. And again, go back and look at the college tape. What happens when he runs? He's usually retreating, right? So it's fine if he runs as long as it's lateral and it's up. Like, that's the key, is he can't give up tremendous amounts of ground. And I think if he's able to, like, avoid that situation where he's given up more than 5 yards of ground when he is moving, I think he'll be fine. But again, that's like an instinctual habit that he's going to have to grow out of. And if he's able to do that, look, I think that there's tremendous talent with Shador. I do. But there are a couple of bad habits that run you into serious problems here in the National Football League that they got to get him out of. And if they're able to do that, he's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Let's talk about Tommy Rees just for another second. Go back and look at the Jets game. They threw the ball 32 times. They ran the ball 32 times. When you look back at this last game against the Ravens, they passed the ball 26 times and they ran the ball 25 times. Can you read into that? And what have you thought of Tommy Rees?
Well, I mean, he's trying to balance, keep it as balanced as possible. And look, I'm not saying he's going into the game with that in mind, where it's okay, 25 passes, 25 runs. But I mean, that's, you see the first two games where he's calling it, it's almost a 50-50 split right on the nose. Okay. Here's the other thing too, is the offense has to give you an opportunity to do that. You have to be productive in the passing game so you can still run the ball. Usually a lot of times when you get lopsided in your passes versus the runs is when you're playing behind the sticks or you're playing behind on the scoreboard. So, they've been in both these last two games, which has helped them stay balanced. But I do feel like that's kind of the mix they really are going for, especially with these young quarterbacks. You don't want these guys out there throwing it 40, 50 times in a game. No, you want the ground game to be able to shoulder some of that burden and get some of those explosive plays too. And like I said, though, they can't be behind the sticks and they can't fall behind too far on the scoreboard.
Daryl Reuters, our Browns beat reporter. Daryl's out in Berea right now. Browns having their Wednesday media sessions and getting ready to play the Raiders coming up on Sunday. I think the key to the entire thing, can the Browns defense do to the Raiders what the not as good Cowboys defense did to the Raiders the other night, Daryl? Can they?
I know. I would just say this. I'm excited to see if Myles Garrett can have less than 10 sacks on Sunday after watching the Raiders offensive line on Monday, on Monday night.
Exactly.
I just, and look what Myles has been able to accomplish in these last three, this season, but the last three games specifically, you're talking 10 sacks, right? In three games. I watched that game Monday night, and that's all I was thinking was, like, Myles Garrett's going to have these guys for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now,
that's what
in
I
fairness,
thought too. Yeah.
But here's the thing. I thought that a few other times going into games, right, and then Myles was held without a sack and things like that. So that's why you play the games. But I do think that there's opportunity for Garrett to feast along with the rest of that Browns defense. Look, the last two games, teams have done victory formation with 2.5 minutes to play in the game. That's never a good thing to have a victory formation done on you before the 2-minute warning, let alone have it done in consecutive weeks. So I do think that if there is a team, for Shador to start against, right, I kind of feel like this is it. Like to have that, to go against a team like the Raiders who's struggling just as much as the Browns are. I feel like this is a real.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
Really good opportunity, not just for Shadur, but this Browns team. Of course, now, I said the same thing going into the Jets game. We all know how that went, right? But I do feel like this is a really good opportunity for Shadur to be able to win his first NFL game and his first start, and also, too, for Myles Garrett to work his way even closer to that NFL single-season sack record, which he is on pace to not just break, but just absolutely obliterate.
Daryl, we have about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You tell me here. Kevin Stefanski said after the game the other day, Dylan Gabriel's the starter. If he can't play, Shadur goes. If Shadur goes out and looks good on Sunday against the Raiders, there's no way that he doesn't get another start, is there?
Correct.
Okay.
You can't. Like, you've got a bunch of home games here. No, I think it's fair to say nobody wants to watch Dylan Gabriel play football, right?
Like, that's a shame to say, but if Shadur plays well, I think you're absolutely right.
Right? No, if Browns fans don't want to watch Dylan Gabriel anymore, I think that's fair to say. I don't want to watch Dylan Gabriel anymore.
You never wanted to watch Dylan Gabriel from the first place. Let's be honest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because I knew what it was going to be. So, hopefully Shadur can go out there. But, yeah, if he goes out there and he plays well, I don't know how they can sit up there with a straight face and tell us that Dylan Gabriel will give them a better chance to win than Shadur Sanders. Because here's the difference. Shadur Sunday, at least for – and, again, struggles and everything, come on. At least at the end of that game, I was like, oh, the Browns have a chance here. Dylan Gabriel, I have never once watched that dude play quarterback and thought the Browns had a chance. That's the difference.
Daryl, thanks, buddy.
Bye, Daryl.
You bet, guys.
We've talked incessantly. Okay, there. We have.
Yes.
About the quarterback situation. Why? Because it's still –
shut up!
I know. Dude, it drives me nuts. Good luck.
You know why it drives us nuts? Because we don't have one.
Could somebody just go out and kick some butt and let's just say we have a quarterback? Anywho.
Why don't we talk about Rex Sunahara more often? I don't understand that.
So in
why can't we talk about Rex?
We know the numbers. We've heard them. I think it's 6 quarterbacks who are starting in the NFL, the main starters for their team, were not first-round draft choices. So in other words, you want a starting quarterback, you go and you take one early, and then you keep your fingers crossed. Teams miss on first-rounders all the time, but they take quarterbacks early because, as we all know, you have to have one to win, right? That's the way it seems to work.
Correct.
The Browns are at least...
although you could go out of the Wildcat every play.
At least on the surface here. And I'll say that, at least on the surface, are trying to do something that's really difficult to do. And that is see if you can take some quarterbacks late, keep your fingers crossed, coach them up, and get lucky that you have somebody. And here's a little thing I want to throw out at you. And as I said, they miss early. They don't miss too often late. And what I mean by that is...
explain.
You take a quarterback in the 3rd or the 4th or the 5th or the 6th rounds... you're very, very unlikely to find your guy.
Right.
In other words, very few guys slip through the cracks late and become stud quarterbacks. It happens, but it doesn't happen very often. And I went back 10 years in the NFL draft.
Okay.
And I want you to hear some of these names who were drafted in these rounds in the last 10 years.
Okay.
3rd round picks. And, you know, they took Dylan Gabriel in the 3rd round. They're hoping to get lucky.
It's a list.
Does this... well, it is kind of a list. Does anybody here float your boat?
Okay.
These are the last 10 years. This year, Jalen Milroe, Dylan Gabriel. My guess is they wanted Milroe and he went to Seattle.
Okay.
If anybody floats your boat, somebody give me a ding, ding, ding or something.
Okay.
2023, it was Hendon Hooker, 3rd round.
Mm.
2022, 3rd round picks at quarterback, Desmond Ridder, Malik Willis.
Ridder at one point, I think we wanted. We were like, yeah.
Matt Corral. I don't even know about wanting him here. I mean, has anybody shown you that, yep, there's your guy? Ritter, Willis, Matt Corral. In 2021, guy was here a while, Kellen Mond. And Davis Mills, who actually is playing fairly well as a backup now for C.J. Stroud, but he's a backup. He's going to play again on Thursday. And they signed him to a decent contract, $7 million guaranteed to be a backup in Houston, but he's not their starter. In 2019, third-round pick at quarterback Will Greer. A year before that, Mason Rudolph. 2017, Davis Webb, who is now considered a really good quarterback coach, C.J. Beathard. 2016, Jacoby Brissett, Cody Kessler. This is where I'm saying teams don't miss very often because there's nobody there that makes me think, yeah, that's a starting quarterback out of that entire group. And that includes Dylan. Fifth round picks in the last 10 years at quarterback. This year it was Shadur.
We're going deep. Yep.
Last year it was Spencer Rattler, who was starting earlier this year for the Saints and has been replaced by Tyler Shuck. And Jordan Travis, who has a great name for a country singer. Travis. Same thing with the guy taken in 2023, Clayton Tune. I'm Clayton Tune. Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Sean Clifford. Jaren Hall. See what I'm saying, Andy?
They don't miss
very often. In 2020, Jake Fromm. 2019, Dan, you ready? Dan?
Yes?
Easton Stick.
Ah!
Clayton, who, by the way, is getting promoted to backup in Atlanta with Kirk Cousins moving into the starting role with Michael Penix being out.
Can't believe there's a human being walking this earth named Easton Stick.
In 2019,
it's a great hockey
Easton
name.
Stick.
I know. I had an Easton Stick playing street hockey as a kid.
Clayton Thorson.
I also used it to adjust the height of my basketball hoop and to get the ball from under the car.
In 2018, Mike White. Fifth round picks. 2017, Nathan Peterman. 2016, Kevin Hogan, who did some time here.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm saying the Browns are trying to do something that doesn't really happen very often. And, you know, we can go back further, but that's just the last 10 years. Those were the third-round quarterbacks and the fifth-round quarterbacks, and not a one of them is a starting quarterback in the NFL.
No, you're almost better going undrafted at that point, aren't you?
Well, Brian Hoyer was undrafted, and Brian ended up having a great career. I'm just saying that's why I've said all along, the Browns weren't trying to get their franchise quarterback when they took a guy in the third and the fifth. They're trying to get guys and see maybe we can get lucky and develop somebody. And maybe they can, Andy. Maybe they can. I hope they can. I want this thing to come to an end. But
it sounds to me like your odds of being an undrafted free agent quarterback are probably about as good, which are super slim, as it would be to get drafted late. Like if you're a team, you might as well just... And you know what? If they're undrafted, there's no pressure to get them on the field.
It almost makes you wonder... If a quarterback slips out of the second round,
it's like the NBA draft. Isn't
why
it?
Are you going to draft all?
It's like quarterbacks
you said,
are
just,
like
just
NBA.
Wait. Yeah, wait. Yeah. Sign a veteran who has shown he can at least take some snaps and be competent, or sign somebody as an undrafted guy. But I hope the Browns can defy the last 10 years, because in the last 10 years, no quarterback has been taken in the third or the fifth round, and actually has become. What you would think is a good starting quarterback. Although Jacoby Brissett has been fun, hasn't he?
Yeah, I was just thinking.
In his backup chances.
I mean, it's just even undrafted quarterbacks, right? Like, there's four maybe in history.
Brock Purdy was the seventh, and he's stuck. But, I just went specifically with what the Browns did.
Yeah, I can't even really find one in the last decade. You know, Kurt Warner, Warren Moon, Tony Romo.
Oh, that's going
Jeff
way back.
Jeff Garcia, right?
That's way back.
But, you're trying to think of guys that have had a huge... No one's really going to give those guys a chance. Brian's, you think about beating the odds. Woo. Well,
Brian had a long career.
Yeah, and beat the odds.
Yep. Chad's in Seville, home of tall people. Hello, Chad.
Hey, Chad.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Hey, Chad, do you think anybody gets it when I say home of tall people?
I don't get it.
Chad, go ahead and tell him.
It's Captain Bates, tallest guy. I don't know if it's a whole state or what. He's 7'10 or 7'11, he was up
and
there.
And he lived in Seville with his very tall wife.
He did. Who was taller than him?
Yeah. So there you go.
Wait,
go ahead, Chad.
His wife was taller than him. How tall was he?
He was in his seven footers.
Yeah, I think he was 7'10", and she was 7'11", I believe, or something like that. It was close.
There you go. Wow. Andy's Googling. Go ahead, Chad.
I want to see how tall the wife was.
Just put Giant of Seville. You'll get it.
Why did I say
go ahead, Chad.
Restricted site?
Well, hey, I was listening to your debate earlier, and I think you both almost got to the same point, and I appreciate what you were doing. I really feel like the thing that Shador brought to that second half that I haven't felt or seen the rest of the year, and it really actually made me enjoy the game, was not what he did in terms of his numbers or his throws or what have you, but the effect that it seemed to have on everybody else. I cannot remember the last time I saw Jerry Jeudy fight so hard for a first down, or the last time that I saw Wyatt Teller
go ballistic.
Like he was going to come fly off the sidelines.
Boy, was he right. He was right.
That play defined
neutral zone infraction.
Right.
Go back and watch it. So, you'll be like, why? How do they not call this?
So I think he brings that spark that the team so badly needs. And you know what? Based on where you're at right now, why not just let him work out those kinks the rest of the year and try to improve? Because you're not going to go anywhere else. So you might as well just let him do it.
Chad, that's why I hope he shows something on Sunday. I mentioned to Daryl. I don't know if you heard us chatting with Daryl. If Shador goes out and plays well on Sunday, I can't imagine under any circumstance that they would say, okay, now Dylan's going to start because he's out of protocol. I can't imagine that.
Yeah, me too.
If Shador plays well. Chad, thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
Take care of those tall people in Seville. You'd never heard that?
No, never knew. Yeah. I'm just up to speed on the Barberton chicken.
Good luck there. Tim's in Highland Heights. Hello, Tim.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Tim?
That's good. I heard Daryl say that Shador needs to get the ball out quickly and do short passes. Isn't that what we've been trying to do over the last 5 weeks?
I thought the same thing.
And everybody complained. So are we going to do the same thing? Then everybody's going to complain again. And unfortunately, I don't think either of them are any good. And the guy was so offside that I don't blame him for complaining about it. I'm not sure if the quarterback had anything to do with it. I think bad reffing had something to do with that. So
Tim,
that's all I have to say.
Very sensible phone call. That was a bad call.
It's a very sensible segment we're doing here. Like, everybody seems to be...
We're not allowed to have that.
I don't know. This is very intelligent.
Said so in the handbook. Said so in the handbook.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.